Yeah. I just want to thank God for bringing me around. I think, like I told some of my friends, for so many years I've been kind of withdrawn. And I want to really thank Pastor Bola. For the two meetings I've attended this year, he has been a very good friend. He has been one dragging me out, you know. And I'm glad that I'm here. Please, let's sit down. God bless you. So, Pastor Bola, please, thank you very much. Okay, this morning, I quickly, because I came here to learn and I've been really, really refreshed. Let's look at Jude 1:3. Jude. I have a mindset of what I'm trusting God to allow this short time to be able to address. Let me read first and let's see how it says. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you and stir you up that, you know, you should earnestly, fervently, you know, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Are we there? To contend. To fight. You know, when you look at this scripture that says, as for the day of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God does what? Hello? Uh-huh. And what? So the fight. I've come to find out that anything, you see, the kingdom is about fighting. In fact, you hear Jesus say, strive to enter. But somehow, in our mind, we do not really see what it is to fight. You know, for somebody like me, when I was in the campus, I was the prayer secretary for two consecutive periods of time. And, you know, there's this our dynasty of Brabasakatabashaba, I break your head, I break your neck, I kick you, we do carry it. And all manner of things in those days. But when I begin to press in, I begin to grow in God, then I begin to see very simple things about the fight we are fighting. Because this is what I want to bring, the simple things out, so that you can see that a lot of us will lose fights every day from simple, simple things. It's not when you're spiritual warfare. After you finish, that's when the battle self starts. So the key thing is that you could do those activities and you are sweating. And people say, bro, you pray. Bro, you try. But the next minute is when the battle really starts. Maybe before I go, let me show you something. That, you see, when the Israelites, because when we look at the Old Testament, we can mirror in the nature of the fight we're involved with, so that I can bring you an understanding of the nature of the fight which we're involved with. Now, for the Israelites to enter the promised land, they had to fight to enter. That's one. Two, for them to get their inheritance, two things they have to fight for, to get their inheritance and to get into the promised land. Now, I don't know what you think about the promised land to many people. In today's Christianity, the promised land of so many people is US. Some is lucky, some is when they drive Prado, some is when they have married. You know, in our so many churches today, we have this thing, Destiny 2:19. And when you are looking at that destiny of some people, it is to marry. It is to have a good job in the bank. But when we look at the scripture, it's quite a different thing entirely. We have been predestinated to conform to the image of his dear son. This is the race. This is the fight. This is what the devil doesn't want you to become. He doesn't want you to be conformed to the image of his dear son. And this is what you have to fight for. People don't know you have to fight to conform. It's not an easy thing. It's something you have to be determined that the first fight for me to enter into rest is when you become a son. When you enter into a place where your life, when you can express the nature, the truth, the wisdom of the invisible God. Jesus Christ says three things there. I'm the way. I'm the truth. And what? I'm the life. The capacity for us to press in and to grow to a time when you are mature to express the ways of God, the truth of God, and the life of God. And so that the summary is that Christ, Paul said something important. If you look at the striving of Paul, he said, I labor hard, I work hard until Christ be formed in you. Listen, Jesus Christ is different from Christ. Hello? Did you get me? There's Jesus Christ. Bros, what's your name? Huh? Oduayo. This is Oduayo Christ. The word Christ means what? The anointed one. Okay? Okay? The Christos. The anointing. Okay? Another word for Christ means the seed of God. The color of God. It's the same place where you get the anointing. The what? Anointing. Now, I know the generation we are in, please sit down, sir. We are full of carrying bottle all around as the anointing. But I can tell you that because the true anointing is alive. So when you are talking about anointing or Christ, you are talking about almost the same thing. Christos, call it anointing, call it the seed of God, call it the color of God. In those days, you find that one important thing that happened is that, you know, when they call it a rubbing. So they said, Jesus, the one that has got the rubbings of God. Okay? The anointing, the crystals. So there's a rubbing. There's an anointing. Okay? In those days where you know, for instance now, can I tell you that this wall is anointed? Can you see this wall is anointed? The original color of this wall is not white. You need to see when we are building it. It was very ugly. But now that this wall has been anointed, look at how beautiful the whole thing is looking at. So this is an issue. So when you are talking about the anointing, because there are many Jesuses in his day, but they were talking about Jesus, the one that will be carrying the rubbings of God, the anointing of God, the color of God. And so you call it the nature of God. So when we are talking about Christ in you, don't look at Jesus is seated. Don't look at the issue that it is Jesus Christ. I can give it to you. But I want to bring your eyes to a clarity of something that is a little bit different. That, fine, the issue that God put into your life is the seed of God, the nature of God, the color of God. This is what we call the anointing. So anytime you see the anointing, Jesus, the carrier of the color of God, the nature of God, the seed of God. And then this scripture we normally quote, I think that's in Isaiah, is it 10:27 or 11:27, You know, I'm always pissed off when I see a people that carry, a man is dressed in correct suit, looking like my brother, and they carry a oil in the name of, I don't know, and they said they anointed the guy, they pour the whole oil and emptied it on the guy. I said, Lord, how is this guy's life messed up like this? Because of lack of some certain understanding. If you look at that, is that Isaiah, okay? He said, it shall come to pass in that, okay, in that day, so it shall come to pass in that day, his burden shall be taken off what? Off the shoulder. And his yoke, the yoke shall be destroyed. So, we think it is the bag of his oil.
It's talking about the nature of God in you, the seed of God in you. You see, it talks about growing. Because when the nature of God is planted in a man, this nature has to grow. This is why we have the fivefold guys to tend, to grow the seed of God, the color of God, the nature of God in your life. And as this seed begins to grow, as this Christ in you, the hope of glory begins to grow, you know, a time will come, God said, and it shall come to pass in that day, you will find out the body will just pin break. Did this pin break? This issue, you see, this is why believers are lazy. The greatest thing is for us to develop. Let me look at this 1 John 2, 20-27. You see something there? Can you quickly see 20, 1 John 2, 20? So, I'm trying, I'm wiping away the oil, carrying, having your faith in coconut oil all around. The real thing is inside you. Greater is he that is in you. Not greater is he that is inside the oil. God is no longer staying inside that bottle. He stays inside you. The nature is in you. I'm going somewhere. He said, but you have an option. You have an anointing. You have, can you say from the only one, and you know all things. This is why if we begin to develop Christ that is in you, it's a different ballgame entirely. We'll go into full stature, full maturity. Because this is why you need to know in a fight, the Bible says, if you fail and faint in the days of battle, it says small is your strength. And if you're going to have strength, then you need to be strengthened with might in the inner man. Are we talking? So this is the end sense of why you are here. You have to open up your heart, your spiritual life. Because the real identity, like my brother said, he's a new creation. He's a new creation minister. And we understand that that life, the Bible says the new man is a life-given spirit. How many of you know that? Yeah. The old and so, I'm sure you don't sing that stupid song here. Every living soul, praise the Lord. I say I'm not a living soul. Hello? Don't dare to sing that song. It's obsolete song. A lot of things are obsolete. A lot of people are comforting songs from a paradigm of the Old Testament without making a transition and understanding the new. The new celebrates oil the bottle. The old celebrates oil the bottle. The new, we do not. Because we have become the container. We are the container, the vessel that the oil dwells in. And that is why when we are teaching apostolic foundation or doctrines, one of the issues there is about teaching and impacting to disciples the doctrines of laying on of hands. When we lay hands, we are releasing the oil. The Old Testament impartation, there's a flow, Jesus said. He said, listen, those who believe in me, out of their belly is going to flow the oil, the issues, the Christ in us, the hope of glory. And when that nature of God begins to flow out, everything it touches will live. Do you understand the kind of nature you carry? He said, you are a life-given spirit. That's the meaning of quickness spirit. You are not just a spirit, but you are a life-given spirit. That everything you touch, when the love of God comes into your businesses, things begin to kick. Things go to another level. You don't need somebody to come to your shop and pour oil and pour oil. All you need to do is just lay hands and release the very life of God. And it is in you because you are the container. Am I saying something? So if you are, let me see 27. I'm laying something. He said, but the anointing which you have received of him abided in you. It's not inside the bottle. I don't know why I'm talking this way. But it's not inside the bottle. is inside you. You need no man to teach you. The same anointing to teach you all things. And it's the truth. And it's no lie. And even as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Are we talking? So, that's a nature. The very nature of God, the very seed of God. It's in us. It's in you. And so God began to say in Isaiah, if you take time to build this anointing, this nature, this Christ in you, and this is what we are developing. We are developing this nature until it grows up to the stature of the Son of God. Oh, the Bible says the earnest expectation of creature, they are waiting the manifestation of the sons of God, of the seed of God. This is what we are doing. We are equipping. We are speaking to your inside. We are stirring it up for an action to prevail. Are we here? Is somebody here with me? So I don't want you to begin to look at the object. The Bible said that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men. That your faith may not be in the handkerchief. Your faith may not be in the water. Your faith may not be, but your faith may be in the power of God. And Christ in you, he has made even him to become the power of God. So understand these issues we're talking about, because it is in you. So I want you to keep on looking at you, because the kingdom is in you. And if we're going to have a warfare, the warfare is going to start in you. Because a lot of us, we are really fighting, we think it's an external thing. No, it starts from inside, because the kingdom is inside. So when we're talking about the warfare of the kingdom, we are talking about the battles within a man. I'm bringing it close, right? Advance Satan in the atmosphere. Advance Satan in the... That's fine, but let's start first within. Because if within is not settled, you can't bring it out. So the first fight is a fight to break loose from within. It's a fight to be free from within. It's a fight to become. It's a fight to express the invisible God. Are we talking? Now let me come a little close. When I see this, there is another scripture that says, that's in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. It told us to fight the good fight of faith. This is the simple thing I want to share, and I'll see that. If I ask a lot of you what faith is, I'm sure I'm going to hear orishirishi. Okay? Orishirishi. Can I indulge somebody to come out and just tell me what faith is? Bros, come. Just tell me what faith is. Let me hear. Because if you are going to fight a good fight of faith and you don't know what faith is, there's a problem.
To me, I believe faith is believing the word of God, even though it's not seen yet. But I absolutely believe that it's true.
Can you see now? That's the faith. So, because one of my greatest problems with believers is that we have some concepts. But most of the time, when believers pass the very thing, they don't even know what it is. They don't even, because if we cannot recognize and define the parameters and define something, when you are able to eating with that thing, you won't know. It's just like when you ask believers to define righteousness, you hear all manner of things. Define holiness, you hear all manner of things. Then, if they don't know what this is, how would they become it? Sis, let's have male and female. Yes, come. Come and define for me. Believing. Faith. Thank you, ma'am.
Praise God. Faith means what what we are expecting, but to us we cannot see.
What we are expecting,
but we cannot see.
Can you hear now? So thank you. What we are expecting, but cannot see. You can see, if I ask all of you now, you will have a lot of all definition that has Q and K legs. Yeah, let me tell you something. Can I give you a simple definition? Faith is that which makes you to believe God. The reason why you believe God is called faith. Did you get that? Something that will make you believe God. Something that is experience. There's an issue, an encounter with God that make you trust His word and believe His word is called faith. Believing means you agree. To agree, believe me means agree with me. Say amen. Amen. That's the meaning of believing. When you believe, when you say believe me, you agree with me. You are saying yes and amen. Then you call it, that's believing. But before you will believe me, you need faith to believe me. So if I want to find your faith, I will ask a lot of you, tell me why you gave your life to Christ. Are you hearing me? Many people don't even know the reason why they gave their life to Christ. And my mommy is a Sunday school teacher. That's not faith. You see, when we start inspecting why you gave your life to Christ, then we are touching your faith. Why you believe the gospel, we are touching your faith. So all the jargons, when you go to a church, okay? Sis, please come here. That sister with the wristwatch down there. You all your hair. Come. Fast, run. Ha. Now, remove your wristwatch for me. Ha, thank you. Whose wristwatch is this? If I say it's my own, I didn't go make him wear. It's my own. So, we got it to the court. And then the lawyer or the judge, who did not know when we bought it, our guy is my own. You say it's my own. You are crying because women start crying. You know when they do, I overwhelm with issue, and they don't know what to say. Ekuni, emi o dani suku. Whatever I say, semini. He wants semini. Pelu ekun. Now at the end of the day, the judge was not there. He looked, I'm in trouble. Then he said, "How to pass judgment? I need faith. I need evidences. I need proofs." So I'm bringing you to your Hebrews. You to read. Now, Agberugbeso, faith is the substance of things so far. The evidence of things not seen. So evidence of things not seen. Badanya Osimbe, he was not there. So, Oga, you are not there. So what is the evidence of things you don't see? I was not there. So we need evidences. So you line up your witnesses, your receipts, the people that saw you, the man you brought it from, and they say, I should line up. So the guys are inspecting the witnesses. And when the guy is fully persuaded, out of that evidences, he gives your judgment because of the faith. And do you know, if this sister, even though this is yours, and you don't have the faith, you will lose it. Many believers are losing what God has given to them because they do not have faith or they lost the faith for what God gave to them. That's why faith is a shield. If you don't have faith, you can lose your husband, you can lose your children, you can lose whatever you don't have faith for. You'll be sure the enemy will attack and will take it away from you and will steal from you. So when the enemy wants to fight you and steal something that God has originally given to you, it's going to challenge your faith. And when you don't know left and right, he's gone. Thank you, man. Am I making it clearer? When you say faith is believing, faith is not believing. Faith is what makes you believe. Faith is what makes you believe. Faith is what makes you to be persuaded, that for you to trust something. So I can't trust you if you don't give me a reason for trusting you. Okay? So you find out that long before a lot of us believe, we gave our life to Christ, God gave faith. When God wants to save a man, the first encounter he gives to him, long before Paul was saved, God gave him faith. And it was on the way to Damascus, he had faith. He had an encounter with God. He saw God. He had an experience. But yet, he was not saved. He has a reason to say yes. Until Ananias went to go and talk to him and he believed the gospel got saved. There were reasons why David fought his battles and won Goliath. In the wilderness, he has had encounters with God where he killed a bear, he killed a lion. So when he saw Goliath, the guy already had faith as an experience of with God. And the reason why I must believe I'm going to move this Goliath. And so he started telling his stories. Yeah. Those are the proofs. Now, if I move the first one, I move the beer, I move this one. That becomes the confidence. Because of the encounters. You see, this is why you find that faith itself is your personal experience and walk with God. Are we talking? So when the Bible is asking you to fight the good fight of faith, now you know what it is. One of the other things I see that is very powerful is I discovered something that the kingdom life hangs on believing. If you don't understand me, listen, how many of you look at this Bible? Jesus Christ said in the book of John, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, what will happen? Every work I do, he will do also. And greater works than this he will do, because what? I go to the Father." Are you hearing that? Now, the easiest way, hello, to know what a man believes is to watch what he's doing. He that believe Michael Jackson, we dance Michael Jackson. Hey, I want to be starting something. I want to be starting something. You will dance it. Because you believe it. A man that believes in lying will lie. Probably we met some women who say, "Pastor, you don't understand my predicament. I don't have a mother. I don't have a father. That's why I'm doing Olosho." I don't know if some of you know the meaning of Olosho here. Area girls. Runs. Girls in the universities who are running prostitution, sleeping with men. So, Pastor, you know. But I used to tell them, there are other people who have got worse condition, and yet they are not doing the Olosho. The fact that you are doing the Olosho is not because, okay, you have nobody to help you. It's because you believe in prostitution. That's why you do it. See, what I discovered is that whatever you don't believe in, if they want to kill you, you wouldn't do. You will never do anything until you believe it. What you agree with is what passes through your life. And do you know this battle is so simple in God that most of the battle we are talking about, it's, you know what the Bible says about it? It said, resist the devil. What does it mean to resist? You don't need to swear. Just say no. Just say no. Satan said, I said no. He said, slap that brother. Look at his disorder. He said, no. Do you understand? Just say no. The easiest way to win a battle is just say no. Resist. Say no. A lot of people don't know how to say no. Say no. If you don't know how to say no, you can't win your battle. Because there are a lot of things you have to say no to. That's the cheapest way to win a battle. Just say no. Just say no. Let's go to the club. No. Let me befriend you. No. Be my girlfriend. No. When I don't believe I still see you. No. When I was in school, I said, I'm bare. No. And you see, there's no. The guy knows you are not serious. But there's a no. Aggressive no. Satan knows this guy is serious. He knows what he's saying. Let me now. Please don't do it, so. And the guy is going. I tell you, before we are here, you are This is why you find that where you want to fight, no is a weapon, a very hard weapon. And when you use no, make it a weapon. Don't make your no to be friendly. So when your eyes are red, you say no. That guy knows the truth. He'll check out. You are not sure. You are not fighting. Are we talking? Are we here? So if you are going to win a battle, it starts from checking out what you believe. Now, there's a problem with us. A lot of us think just because we know something means we believe it. A lot of you, how many of you are cutting? If you know you are cutting, let me see your hand. They don't want to talk now. Sisters, see, brothers that are cutting here. Oh, Baba, it's okay, kid here. No, no, nobody's cutting here. You are there. Don't worry. Don't worry. I know what I'm saying, though, because I know this is a youth meeting. I want to tell live and direct. Hello? Hey, hello? Talk to me. Hello? They are not talking. I will drop my phone. Hello? What are you talking? Let's talk. I want to talk to all of you. Especially when Una starts dating. How you need to know that there's a fight there. Otherwise, you are gone. You see a brother who is jim 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 jam jam. Sister Gragabu, jijibu bro, egbo. Throughout the time, they were only at 35 until they got engaged. And they forgot it's a battle. Oshedjo, I'm too. Okay, 10 minutes more. So, and they forgot it's a battle. One thing they start doing, which I warn young people don't do, don't hold hand. Sister, can we come? You know, you are going, you are doing a car like this. The first thing you hold a sister you think you are engaged to, you know what happened to you? The current will flow. It is very exciting. The flesh will feel good. Oh, wow. I'm in love. Would you please take my hand? I will tell you, be careful. He that sweat into the flesh. Oh, wow, voila. Let me tell you, after holding hand for 1 week or two, you'll be tired. You need another activity. That one will not be exciting. You now say, okay, when you see each other, when you hug me, let I hug you. Then the short breath will rest on the chest of the brother. The brother will be in London. Then before you know it, you are making it the next level. It's going on. After a time, oh yeah, peck me, I peck you. That one goes away. After, you peck here. After another week, he's tired. After all, give each other holy kiss. Hello? You are going. And your conviction is changing. And you think you are still alive. You have been sowing into the flesh. See, once you sow into this flesh, it keeps on rising. And you don't know the battlefront. You are shifting it for your detriment. So I'm warning you people, because I'm talking battles where you don't see that they are battles. And so because some of you want to get engaged, a lot of people that God brought together, they destroy the relationship before they get to the altar with fornication. You don't know. Some of you, some people, they could have married in 1972, but they are still not married now because the first person that engaged you who fornicates will not hate each other. The second one, another thing. You don't know it's a battle. That the devil just shifting your life. So I'm just showing the battles you people don't see to be battles. And if the battle continue, you might find out marrying the wrong man and the wrong person when you start losing this battle. Because you are young people. Because one of the greatest battles you are going to fight now is the battle of who to marry. And you don't know it's a battle. Know it. Even when God give you a genuine man and sister, you need to fight to make it clean. You need to fight to make it righteous. You need to fight to make it holy. So the devil is going to test your belief system at that point. And if you are stupid and you are going according to how sweet your flesh becomes, kissing and romancing, and say after all, it is not a sin. You are going to get to a point. The devil is going to, one day, your man who will stand like a iroko tree. The sister will be wet like a wetter. And you will not forget herself. And Jesus will be off your head. And then the devil will tell you, are you sure God really said this thing is fornication? After all, you are going to marry. There's a brother that wrote his own Bible. Sleeping with a sister you are going to marry is not a sin, but sleeping with a sister you are going to marry without marriage is a sin. New generation preacher. When somebody, when they write their own Bible, you will know where they're coming from. Or some people who are on top of a sister and they say, well, it is my spirit can't sin. It's my body that has done it.
I told them, say, grace of God, where I know. If they teach people to deny ungodliness. Anybody, where they get grace, where they commit sin, you never see the grace. If grace not make you pick grace, will not be grace. Nah, not be grace. Hey. Grace not they permit you to... Christian sister. No. Not be grace. Grace make you to fear and say, hey, may I not feed the flesh. Please, I'm in trouble. So there's a fight. You'll be out of fight. So you get to a point, you set yourself up, and you are wondering, did God really say that this thing is a sin? Did God really not say so? And at that tension wire, are you sure God said, before you know it, what did that or what to burn soon? And that's how now the tension comes down. Alas, what have we done, brother? The problem with God, the devil will test if you believe that fornication is a sin. Because a lot of you now, you know fornication is a sin, but you don't believe it yet. And one day, you're going to be tested for it. Once somebody believe it, well, you know, only if you go to Magumiloju, okay, the last man will. You see, temptation that you face, the battle you face, and you didn't prepare for, and you are trying to do what you will do in warfare, you will fail. Me, I used to prepare a long time ago. Anybody that is around me, sister or brother, I tend to just envisage the worst that can happen, and I've marked out what I'm going to say before it happens. I'm already prepared. So before, that's me. I watch it. Your eye is in chapelet. Open eye. When I was the prayer secretary, I was surrounded by women. I kept praying for each of them to keep the relationship pure. So that the devil will not bring unusual nonsense there. If you just want to pray for one another, you can see the devil clearly. It's part of the battle. Because when you don't pray, you start sleeping. Your spirit is so smart. And then the flesh starts rising. So one important thing, so these are the issues. So you have to begin to watch what you believe. And what you believe is what you fight for. What you are not fighting for, somebody is on your hand, and since you are comfortable with it, your belief system seems to be wrong. When there's snoosh, the whoosh, and you are comfortable, say you are Christian, your belief system is wrong until it will damage you. But if you are going to be a warrior, then your belief system must be intact. Once you believe something, if you don't believe in poverty, you will fight it. If you don't believe anything you don't believe in, you will fight it. So the beginning of your fight is, let's check what you believe. And that's the issue today. That's why we're called believers. Not just, and it is until you believe something. Well, the church is full of people who just know the Bible, who do not believe the Bible. Until you believe the Bible, you can't be a doer. So this is where the fight is. So if you now permit me to reframe that Bible, it said, fight the good fight of what you believe. So all these things are people, I kill you, I dance you, I push your nose. It's good. But the devil will check up after that. He will check up your system internally. Oh boy, what did this guy believe? Believing right, the Bible says, with the heart a man believes unto righteousness. To win this battle, you need your heart. Heart. If your heart is clear, if your heart is honest, if your heart is sincere, you can be sure that you will win every battle. But if your heart is rotten, you know that's what the Bible said. It said, guard your heart with all diligence. Heart of it are the issues of life. So I think on this note, I'm true. I said what I should say.
We believe you were blessed by this message. For additional information, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PGT Church, or visit our website www.pgtchurch.org. Thank you.